Rottweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we're continuing our series on being a human in process. In our last episode, and in today's and the following couple of episodes, we're talking about specific emotions and experiences that show up in life and often are misunderstood, or ones that get a bad rap. Last episode, we talked about anger, and today, we're going to do a deep dive into fear. But before we do that, let's pay attention to our bodies and come into the present moment. As much as you're able, shift your attention from outside of you to inside. If you're able, go ahead and close your eyes, but if not, that's okay. Just pay attention to what's happening in your body. Any sensations? Any pain? Any tension? Any energy? Or lack thereof? What do you notice? And then as you pay attention to that, go ahead and notice what your body feels like it wants to do or that it needs to do. Maybe you haven't been paying any attention to it, but now that we have, we're noticing, I need to stretch. I've got a lot of tension in my upper shoulders. Or wow, it'd feel really good if I could bend over and touch my toes or get up and jump a little bit. I'm feeling really lethargic. If you're noticing a lot of tension, you can stretch, but you can also shake it out, have a little dance party. Whatever it is that feels like what's right and what your body needs in this moment, go ahead and do that right now. You may also notice that you need to take a deep breath. You can totally do that as well. And when you're done, go ahead and come back into this present moment, and we'll start our podcast episode. In our last episode, we talked about anger, which makes up half of the fight or flight response, the fight part. In today's episode, we'll be diving into the other half, the flight response. But honestly, we could say the flight, freeze, or fawn response. All of them could be responses that have to do with fear. But rather than talking about fear only, like it's its own thing, I'm going to break it down further into specific categories that are all related but a little bit different. We're going to be talking about fear, but also stress, anxiety, and worry. Each, I think, deserves its own time to be talked about and examined. Just like with anger, I find that anxiety and fear also get a bad rap, partly because they're what a lot of people consider negative emotions, but especially I find in faith communities that they're often misunderstood. So in both this and the following episode, I want to take time with anxiety, fear, worry, and stress, and uncover what they are, the purposes they serve, what the Bible has to say about them, and ways that we often misconstrue or load guilt or labels of sin onto each of them. My hope always is to bring honor to the Lord, not to bring about confusion or wrong teachings. So my prayer is that if you've struggled with anxiety, worry, or fear, that today's episode will be helpful and an encouragement in your mental health journey and in your faith walk. Today, we're talking about two straightforward things. Next week is going to get a little more nuanced. So let's dive in. Today, we're talking about stress and fear. Let's start with stress. You know, stress isn't exactly what we would consider fear, but I'm bringing it up because it does have to do with the fight or flight response a lot of times. Stress is a reaction to what is happening outside of us, to life circumstances, or challenges that are arising in our everyday life. It's a physical or mental reaction to an external cause, like a deadline, a fight, a life change, a transition, anything like that that could be considered a challenge. Stress is a normal response that can help motivate us when a challenge arises. It's a neutral idea. It's not good or bad. It just is. Often we hear it talked about like a bad thing, like I have so much stress. But if you live a normal life, stress is going to be a part of it. And in some seasons, it's going to be a lot more a part of your life than in others. The way our bodies consider stressors is like a challenge that it has to rise to. And it uses stress hormones to help get the job done. A little or moderate amount of stress is actually a really good thing. You know, muscles don't grow unless they encounter resistance. And stress is kind of like a similar experience. Deadlines, challenges, social engagements, caretaking, all of these things create stress, but they also help us finish things we might otherwise leave undone. They help us improve and grow as humans. Even if we think about the stress hormones themselves, sometimes they can be helpful. If you think about an Olympic athlete, you would hope that they had some adrenaline pumping before their event because they're probably going to do better. They're rising to a challenge, a positive one. And so a lot of times we can think of stressors in that way. They're often positive, or at least neutral. Stress can become a more negative experience when we've gone beyond our physical and emotional resources, or when we feel like none of it's under our control or that it's all meaningless, or when we feel like we don't have support from others. Kelly McGonigal has a great TED Talk about this. It's called How to Make Stress Your Friend. And in it, she talks about a study on stress. They took a bunch of people, they asked them about their stressors, and then they asked them, do you believe stress is bad for you? Do you know, only the ones that believed stress was bad for them had any negative health effects in the coming year. So it did affect their health if they believed that stress was bad for them. How fascinating. You know, last year when we talked about telling our stories, I shared with you that Dan Allender says that we can be either in bondage to our stories or bonded to our stories. And the difference is, have we processed them? Have we made sense of them? Have we had compassion for them? And do they have meaning? And I think stress is a lot that way. If it feels like there's nothing we can do about it, that we've moved beyond our resources, that we don't have any support and there's no meaning in it, then yeah, it is going to have negative health consequences. But if we can look at it from the opposite side, and there are a lot of good ways to look at stress, then there are a lot of ways to mitigate the negative health consequences. For instance, oxytocin, which is a bonding hormone that helps us actually feel good. It shows up when we cuddle, when we hug, when we breastfeed, when we're intimate. And interestingly, it also plays into our stress response. It acts like a stress buffering hormone. It helps to decrease cortisol levels when released during stressful situations. It helps facilitate social bonding behaviors that can mitigate stress impacts. It influences activity in brain regions like the amygdala, which help with emotional processing. And it also helps us look for support. What is the number one way that we regulate? By looking for others who are there for us. We regulate best by co-regulation. The Lord knows that, and it's programmed into even our hormones. We're looking in stress for who can help me? Who is with me? Interestingly, oxytocin also helps repair heart tissue. Amazing. So especially, I think this is important to know for parents, for caretakers. If your stress is other people related, you're getting a lot of shots of oxytocin, which are mitigating a lot of the negative consequences of stress on our bodies. So as far as I know, stress is not talked about in the Bible explicitly, but we can apply some principles to how we think about stress. What Jesus tells us is that we will have trouble. In other words, stressors are going to come. But, he says, we can take heart because he's overcome the world. He says that he will be with us. He says that he's giving us a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will indwell us and counsel us and advocate for us. In other words, through his life, redemption, and his word, he makes meaning out of suffering and offers support. He doesn't promise we will avoid stress. In fact, if anything, he often challenges us out of our comfort zones. But he says he'll be there with us. So stress is not a bad thing, you guys. The only time it becomes a bad thing is when we've overloaded our resources and we're left alone and it doesn't feels out of our control. At which point, I hope that you would reach out and get some help. See a counselor, talk to the people in your church or in your family. But what I hope you take away about stress is that our interpretation of stress is the most important thing. Asking for and receiving support from God and from other, like, real life people who can physically help us is a buffer against the long-term negative effects. There are things in our bodies even that are buffers against the negative effects, like oxytocin. If God has called you to do a hard thing that's stressful, He will be there with you every step of the way. You're not alone. There's meaning in it, even if you don't know the end of the story yet. You may be processing that part later. But you're not alone, so let that oxytocin flow. Let's talk about fear. The thing I hear the most when I think about fear in the Bible are two things, two phrases. Fear the Lord, we hear a lot about that. And the other one is, do not fear. Both of those things are very different entirely. When we think of fear of the Lord, it's not the kind of fear that we're talking about here. It's of respect and awe, that kind of fear. But there are an awful lot of statements in the Bible that say, do not fear. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us have taken that as a command, or that's been interpreted as a command, meaning that fear is a sin because we're not supposed to fear. Which, just like with anger, doesn't lead us to have less fear. It just leads to guilt and shame, which then compounds our worries and fears. So that's ironic. So today I'd like to talk about the biology of fear and a few instances of fear in the Bible and help disable some of that negative programming about faith versus fear. If you listened last time, you heard some of this, but I'm going to do a quick review. When our nervous systems pick up on a trigger or sense danger or a challenge, then they go into what we think of as survival mode, essentially pulling the switch for the fight or flight response. To be clear, this is not a conscious choice that's made. We never decide to be afraid. It's a lower brain and nervous system reaction. And we're thankful for it. Without this ability to sense danger and react, all of us would be dead. It's a gift that the Lord has given us, an intuition and response that saves us from big and little things. When this flip gets switched on, our body goes into action. The stress response hormones start flowing, adrenaline and cortisol and others. We breathe faster, our heart rate speeds up, our muscles are getting ready to fight or flee, and our upper brain, the part that gives us access to language, that helps us think through consequences and make plans with lots of steps involved, it stops working so well, it kind of gets foggy because our lower brain is running the show. We're in our survival brain. For this reason, just like I said last week about anger, I don't think that fear is a sin. We'll dive into nuances related to this in next week's episode about anxiety and worry. But if we're talking about fear itself, I think it's a response and an emotion, not a sin. Let's talk about a few places the Bible talks about fear. One repeated theme of being told, "Do not fear," comes whenever a heavenly being or angel shows up. In both the Old and New Testament, whenever a heavenly messenger arrives, the human recipient falls face down or becomes afraid. Before relaying their intended message, the angel will always say, "Do not fear," or something to that effect. Is that a command? No, I think it's a reassurance. The Lord knows that our nervous systems are overwhelmed easily, and especially at the unexpected presence of an unearthly, radiating being showing up. He also knows that our brains have a hard time comprehending when we're in this state. So the angel shows up, overwhelms our nervous system, and nothing's really going to get through because now we're in flight or freeze. A lot of them fall down flat, so that would be the freeze mode. So instead, they offer reassurance. "We're not here to hurt you. Don't be afraid." And then they share their message. Here's an example, and probably the most famous example is in Luke 2, the Christmas story. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. I'm sure they were. If I put myself in that state, in that place, in that time, I can only imagine what that would have been like. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Reassurance. It's a good message, not a bad one. It's not about punishment. It's not about fear. It's about, I'm bringing you something good, but your nervous system is overwhelmed. You don't have to be afraid. It's okay. Here's another time it talks about fear in the Bible is in Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10. So when he says, "Do not fear," here, do you think it's a command or an invitation? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. There are a lot of reassurance and support words there, huh? Doesn't seem like it's a command. Seems like it's an invitation and a reassurance. He's with us. We're going to be okay. A reassurance. Do not fear. I am with you. I will help you. In other words, we have support. We're not alone. Let that oxytocin flow. There's something about feeling alone and out of control and vulnerable that causes us to fear. Throughout Scripture, the Lord gives us the message that we don't have to fear because He is with us. A few weeks ago, we spent some time in the Psalms, so I'm going to read a passage from King David about fear. In Psalm 118, he says, "From my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and put me in an open space. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That's a pretty amazing statement. So he's not going to be afraid of men because the Lord is on his side. So he definitely got the reassurance thing going on, huh? He is not going to be afraid. At least he's telling himself so in this song. The theme I'm picking up is not that it's a sin to be afraid, but that the Lord wants us to know that we are safe. We don't have to be afraid. He is with us. If you think about a small child being afraid, mom and dad know that they'll be with them and they'll protect them, but the little kid, it doesn't stop the little kid from being afraid of monsters under the bed. But we can reassure them, you're safe. There are no monsters under the bed. Sometimes bad things do happen, but as parents, we love our children and we hope that they will come to us with any of their needs or fears. And I think in a very similar way, the Lord does that for us. Which leads me to 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love." Fear involves punishment. That's it, right? In Christ, we don't have to be afraid of punishment. We know that we are loved. Fear and anger are emotions. I don't think that they're sinful. They're responses to triggers, dangers, and challenges that we have to navigate here on earth. What we do when we feel them can get tricky, especially since we're not always thinking straight when we're having a fight or flight response. But it seems to me that the Lord is very kind and attentive to the way He has made us and has a lot of grace and reassurance for us. If you struggle with fear or anxiety, there may be good reasons why your nervous system has been primed to be on high alert due to life circumstances, trauma, or even genetics. Our nervous systems are biological. They're not choices that we make. And we can learn over time to feel safer as well, and that may be part of your journey too. If you carry anything away from this episode, I hope it's that you're not alone. And if anything, the Lord offers reassurance and presence in the midst of fear, not condemnation. Okay, you guys, that was the short version. Those were the two easy ones. Next time, we're going to talk about anxiety and worry. And there is a lot that could be said about those two. And you know, I always have a lot to say. So if you're interested in learning more about those, I hope you'll join me back here in 2 weeks for our next installment in this series. Well, that is all for today's episode. But before we go, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.